We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Blue Wire. With the seventh pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Detroit Lions select Penei Sewell, tackle, Oregon.
He's going to run it straight in. Jared Goff.
Carr gets down the Detroit Lions. TJ Hawkins, they did it. They tied it. They're an extra point away from winning this game. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Yo, what is going on, guys? Welcome back to the Pride Podcast, episode 237 on the Blue Wire Network. I am your host, Tyler, joined by my two guys, as always, Mr. Malcolm Hart. I got my man, Pierre, with us, and we got ourselves a very special guest with us today. But Pierre, Malcolm, how are you boys doing on this beautiful Tuesday night?
Woo!
Man, I'm doing great, Tyler. I'm enjoying this weather today. It's like yesterday was snowing and today's like in the 60s. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no, we're officially in the April season, which means two things. First off, it's the NFL draft month and we're going to get the NFL draft later this month. Actually, three things. Two, we get Detroit Tigers baseball. I know people don't give a shit about that, but we get Detroit Tigers baseball this month, which I'm super excited about. And then three, like Pierre mentioned, the weather is all over everywhere. You get nice weather, you get the bad weather. It's all over the place. All right, let's get into our guest, though. We got ourselves a very special guest from a very special Instagram page, NFL Scout, also known as Jake. Jake, how you doing, my man?
Pretty good. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, man. Doing great. And I just want to get into you a little bit before we start talking about this draft and talk about the Lions. I realize that you are actually an assistant recruiter for the University of Tennessee. So I'm just curious how you kind of got into that and how long you've been doing that for.
So basically about 2019, I partnered up with Dan Hatman. He runs the Scouting Academy. You guys might have seen his stuff on social media before. Mm-hmm. Met up at a personnel symposium event in Nashville. And I kind of just fell in love with Tennessee and the program, and they saw my Instagram page and thought I could be a good asset for them. And it's been a lot of fun. I've been doing that about 2 years now.
Yeah. And as far as your Instagram page, you got a very successful page, 33.4K followers, over 1,000 posts. I'm just curious, how long have you been doing this Instagram page for?
I think since about 2015 is when I first started. And after a few trial and errors, eventually you find your footing.
Yeah, for sure. So I appreciate that. That's when I got started. I got started late 2014. I know Pierre's a little earlier than that. So, you know, we obviously appreciate the people, the OGs, we like to call it on IG, doing all the NFL stuff. So you're definitely one of those OGs. So going on to now the 2022 draft, and the Detroit Lions having the second overall pick, there's obviously a lot of controversy right now between the fan base, because there's not that one consensus guy that everyone's like, oh, we need this guy, we need this guy. There's a lot of smoke right now with Aiden Hutchinson being the first pick overall going to Jacksonville. So I'm just curious, assuming that in this hypothetical that Aiden Hutchinson's gone at pick number one, who is your guy that you think the Detroit Lions should take here at pick number two?
Well, I haven't heard a lot about it. Obviously, you hear about Malik Willis and the controversy at QB. Lions have done a great job, actually, of keeping their war room tight They haven't let a lot of things leak out. It's been a mystery for the most part, but I think Lion fans should get comfortable with the name Trayvon Walker. You know, I think he's a lock to be gone before the Jets pick at four at this rate.
Why? So Walker had that limited production at Georgia. We know he had a great natty. Like, he balled out, right? I believe he had seven pressures and a couple sacks.
Right.
But why are people kind of ignoring Thibodeau? I know there's, like, smoke out there that his work ethic isn't all that, or he doesn't all, like, he's not always focused on football, right? I don't, what's the word of, like, what are you hearing on Thibodeau? Do you buy the BS? Like, is it a team just trying to leak that so he falls to them, or is there some truth to it? What's going on with Thibodeau? Because personally, for me, I take Thibodeau over Walker, but, like, Brad Holmes is the GM. I'm not the GM. So what's going on with the Walker and Thibodeau stuff?
Right. It's a, I think it's half smoke and half it's truth. You know, at least from what I can see, you know, if you watch Fresno State game, you can see Kayvon Thibodeau looks like he's in cruise control most of that game. He's not really going hard. And you see that a couple of times on tape. But I do think that a lot of the character stuff that, like, you know, he's bad for a locker room or he's uninterested in football, you know, you hear him at the combine interviews. I mean, his football IQ is through the roof. So I think that there is a little bit of truth, but at the same time, I think you possibly have teams like the Falcons or even Seattle at nine trying to leak stuff like that so he can fall.
So if you're Brad Holmes, let's say you have the number two pick, right? Would you take Walker? Would you take Thibodeau? Would you take Willis? Maybe someone else? What would you do?
I would take Willis. I think that that's a guy that has all the physical tools that you need. I think that if he stayed at Auburn and put up a lot of the same numbers, that he would be a lock for this pick. But again, it's also kind of the structure, you know, if the Lions feel comfortable with Matt Corral and putting him in an RPO system in year one, maybe he's the pick at 32. But overall, I think that if Detroit wants to get to the next level, what they got to do is pick a guy that has very elite physical traits, and Willis is that guy.
And Jake, going back to Trayvon Walker very quickly, this is a guy that I feel like, especially after the combine, has gotten a lot of extra hype, maybe before the national championship. And it seems like number one, number two, if you're going to go edge rusher, is going to be either Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau, whatever order you had that. So I'm just curious, when did you realize that Trayvon Walker was higher on your board than Kayvon Thibodeau?
Well, honestly, I think that they're both a little underwhelming for what they should put up. I like Trayvon Walker. I like Kayvon Thibodeau. I think that they're both, when you look at their physical traits, and they're also different in a regard. Kayvon Thibodeau, very elite first step, a lot of ankle right. flexion, good knee flexibility. Trayvon Walker is more of a guy that wins with that first step. He's got an elite punch, strong hands. And I think in the national championship game, I kind of said, you know, this is a guy that hasn't seen a lot of elite production. I got to see him live when he came here to Tennessee this year, and he kind of stood out as a physical specimen, but, you know, left a little bit to be desired in terms of production.
All right. So I just want to put this out there. There's a lot of people who's really high on safety Kyle Hamilton, and believe he could be as picked as high as number two with this Detroit pick. Considering his position, is this something that you'll be willing to pick as early as two?
Just as a personal preference for me, I would not. I just don't value safeties that high. And kind of my red flag with Kyle Hamilton that a lot of people don't talk about, people want to point to the speed. You know, he's in the same speed category as Justin Simmons, so that's not really a big issue. But I think one for me is when you watch him on film is that a lot of the plays he makes are off structure. You know, people want to point to like that crazy throw versus Florida State and say, you know, he's got range. But in the NFL, no QB is going to wait 7 seconds and roll out to the right and throw a ball up on the sideline. So you want to see him make more plays, you know, that are simple. You want to see him go ahead and read a backside dig. And you just don't see plays like that. So even as a positional value, something that I think Detroit should stay away from at two.
That definitely
we agree.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I want to go back to the quarterbacks really quickly. So you said personally that you think the Lions should take Malik Willis at pick two. And I was looking through your Instagram page, and you actually put a pro comp to Malik Willis. Who is that pro comp that you have to Malik Willis?
Mr. Kyler Murray himself.
And explain that. I'm curious to hear why you compared Kyler Murray and Malik Willis to each other.
Yeah, so I think that a few of the similarities that they have, and they're almost identical in their weaknesses. You know, you see Murray and Willis, they don't throw over the middle a lot. And some people could say, well, that was in part due to Hugh Freeze and a very simple offense, whatever you could say. But in terms of what they do well, you see foot quickness. You see a live arm. You see a lot of exit velocity. You're seeing him make throws off structure. You're just seeing a lot of things that other guys can't do. You know, Matt Corral and Sam Howell, people may like them in the second round, but there's absolutely no way that you can get a guy, you know, rolling out to his right with, you know, very good foot quickness to make big throws downfield like that.
So, Jake, I must ask, because Kyler Murray is a controversy somehow. I love Kyler Murray as a player. I think he's a great player. Leadership is one thing, but as a player on the field, I think he has top-tier NFL talent. I agree with you there. So, what's your take on Kyler Murray? Because that's obviously a controversy. A guy like Pierre, he'll tell me, hell no, Kyler Murray is not a franchise quarterback. So, do you believe a guy like Kyler Murray is a franchise quarterback?
Let me tell him why, though. Because, first of all, I think Malik Willis is a lot bigger, right? Isn't he Malik like 225 and he's 6 feet? Kyler is like 5'10", 5'11", right? And also, I don't like Kyler's leadership qualities. Like, you just see he checks out during games. Like, he'll just sit by himself on the field, or when he, like, throws a pick or something, he, like, wants to be alone. Like, he just checks out sometimes. And that's, I'm not a fan of that as a franchise quarterback. That's why I'm not a fan of Kyler Murray.
So, Jake, would you like the traits of Kyler Murray on a franchise quarterback?
Absolutely. I do agree, though, in a sense. You see him check out of games. He lacks a little bit of that mental toughness, but I think that Malik Willis is a little bit different in that regard. But in terms of physical traits that Malik Willis has, almost pretty much everything Kyler has. I think Kyler has a very rare foot speed that people can't match. But Malik Willis is still up there in terms of, you know, what he can do. I'd take Kyler Murray any day as a franchise QB. I'm a Giants fan. I've had to watch Daniel Jones and Mike Glennon the last 2 years. So, you know, you wish you could have those guys sometimes.
Like, for me, I just want my quarterback to be a leader and guys like who could like kind of like gravitate towards, you know what I mean? And I just don't see that with Kyler all the time. So that's just the red flag with me with him. But with Malik Willis, obviously, we saw his pro day. Guys were loving him. He was giving him high fives. He was interacting with his teammates. Great leader.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Let me just ask a question, because it seems like you are really, 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 really high on Malik Willis. Like, really high. Like, this is your guy. What is some stuff that do you see any red flags with Malik Willis? Because a lot of people don't have him as high as you have him. A lot of people look at him as a project and a boom or bust, and bust could be very high. What are some red flags that you see with Malik Willis, or do you just see him as this franchise quarterback that's going to change a team?
There are definitely some holes in his game. He has some anticipation issues. And even versus like some simple coverages, it would take him 2 to 3 times to recognize it. In the Ole Miss game, they kept running Tampa 2 and daring him to throw that go route between the corner and the safety. And the first 2 times, he just didn't hit it. Eventually, he came back and hit it. But, you know, I just think there's some, you know, developmental issues that could arise if he gets, like, in the wrong system. But I guess in today's game, you know, you need that QB to fit your system either way.
So his holes, you think, are very fixable? You think they're very fixable or you're not maybe?
I think they're very fixable. You know, there are other guys in the draft such as Matt Corral, where, you know, they don't throw these high revolution balls on a rope, and it's very problematic, you know, when you want them to go ahead and hit a post route versus Tampa 2 and split the seams. And Malik Willis, that's just not a concern for him. A lot of it is fundamentals and, you know, advancing as a passer.
Yeah. And Jake, I got a question too to that. Is that, is Malik Willis your second overall prospect in this draft, or do you just believe that he is the best fit for what the Lions need here at pick 2? They have a situation where they could start maybe Jared Goff at the beginning of the season, and maybe Malik could take over at some point, or even if they have to make a situation where Goff is the start of the whole season, then Malik takes over 23, the Lions could easily move off of Goff. So where do you have Willis as far as a prospect when you compare the other positions?
Right now, I have him as a top five player. I think that when you look at a lot of guys in this draft, to me, like, the no-brainer two guys, in my opinion, are Aiden Hutchinson and Ahmad Gardner. Those are, like, two guys where you could say they can wear a gold jacket one day. You know, all the other guys, to me, they have lots of question marks somewhere. You know, with Malik Willis, it's just, you know, how much – of an advanced playbook can he get? And I totally agree with you. It's a perfect situation for Detroit. They wouldn't be in any rush to start him. And, you know, they would still have Goff and some QB value to bounce back on if anything goes wrong.
Right. Definitely. Okay, so let's say you're Brad Holmes, right? You're setting your top five board for the Lions. Who do you have at 1 through 5? Like your big board, like top five for the Lions.
Right. Well, number one, I think you'd have to put Aiden Hutchinson. I mean, that's a no-brainer number one overall pick. If Jacksonville decides to take Trayvon Walker, I think that would be the case where, you know, the Lions shouldn't hesitate and take the best player in the draft.
Right.
Number two, I would put Malik Willis there. Again, like I said, physical traits, he just fits what Detroit is building. And, you know, he could really elevate the offense. I would love to see him and DeAndre Swift in the same backfield. That would just be awesome to see. Number three, I'd probably put Trayvon Walker. I don't know how well he fits with Detroit, but the talent jumps off the screen and physical talent. Number four, if we're getting a little dicey here, I've heard a little bit about Ahmad Gardner going number two. I don't know if that's true or not, but off a talent perspective, I don't think you could go wrong. Especially, you know, lots of people don't know what's going on with Jeff Okuda or whatever it may be. And at number five, I would say Ike Ekwonu from NC State. Detroit doesn't need a tackle, but if they feel that, you know, he's the best player available, then they could always move him on multiple spots on the line.
Man, if Detroit drafts a corner or a tackle, I am going to lose my goddamn mind.
Okay, so
I will lose my mind. I will riot. I'll go crazy if that happens.
Something caught my eye. You didn't mention Kayvon Thibodeaux in that top five. Would he be number six for you?
Probably. I just don't know. There's just too many question marks for me with Kayvon at this point in time. You know, a big marker for me, I'm very big into combine data and advanced analytics like that. And the fact that Kayvon is sitting out of the three cone and the shuttle and stuff like that really bothers me. But I do think that if Detroit is comfortable with everything off the field and they feel he can be a culture fit, then you should slide him up to number three on that list.
Okay.
Quick question. Before this college season, did you have Thibodeaux as the number one player coming out?
I did not. I believe that I had a tie between Rattler and Sam Howell.
Yeah, Rattler and Sam Howell. Going, yes. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people were high on them.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
They just don't work out, man.
Yeah, Radler didn't pan out too well.
Yeah, we'll see Spencer Rattler. He's at South Carolina, I believe, now. So we'll see what
he has. He has a chance to bounce back.
Playing the SEC, I mean, I don't have really much expectations from this year, but like just to see, I mean, he's putting himself in some competition this year. So that should definitely be something intriguing to watch this college football season. But yeah.
All right, so now expanding to later in the draft, who are some names Lions fans should be familiar with while they're watching the draft as far as, like, later in the rounds?
Well, as you know, Detroit has a second first-round pick, and the Lions have already met with him. His name is Treylon Burks. They've already met with him two different times. So Detroit needs a receiver. It's likely that he's going to be on the board. If Detroit wants that fifth-year option, they should just stay there and take Treylon. And I think the same thing goes with Dakobe Dean at that pick. He would just be perfect in that defense as a will and be able to go sideline to sideline and kind of plug and play from day one.
Jake, you mentioned Treylon Burks. So I personally have Burks like a top 15, top 20 player. Why is he there at 32? What is it like? Is he interviewing poorly? Are teams not as high on him as the media is? Or what's up with Burks?
I think it's a combination of a few things. I think people in the beginning of the season overrated Burks. Now, I like him as well. I have him in the 20s, somewhere in the 20s on my player board, I believe. I like him as a prospect, but I do think there's some issues when you talk about catch radius and creating separation at the line. You know, at the catch point, but overall, he's still a dominant athlete and the testing numbers weren't that good, but the tape doesn't lie. The kid can run. And Detroit needs a playmaker. Khalif Raymond is pretty good, but, he's not handling it on every down. and Amon-Ra definitely could use a really good sidekick. So I think that'd be an awesome pick for them.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Do you have like an NFL comp for him? Like who are you comparing him to in the NFL right now?
We hear a lot of people about AJ Brown. You could say he's a poor man's AJ Brown. Again, I don't think he has that catch radius or that dominant catch point like Brown has. If you compare him to a bulkier Mike Williams, I'd say that's also a pretty good comp as well. Somewhere in that range of a deep threat that can work over the middle of the field and get tough yards.
I like it. I like that.
Jake, I want to talk about another player, different position, completely different what we're talking about. We're talking about receivers right now, but I want to talk about a player who I don't assume will be there in that 30 range, probably going to be taken in that top 15 range, top 20 range, if I had to guess. But you made a pro comp to this guy to a former Lion, and that's big Jordan Davis. And your comparison to him was my boy, Damon Snacks Harrison. So I kind of want to hear, what do you see in those guys? Why do you compare them?
Absolutely. From a body type perspective and what they do as athletes, they're a little bit different. But I think much of the same for them in terms of what they did in their career. Snacks was a first-team All-Pro, and he was an amazing run defender. You know, as a Giants fan, I got to watch him. I mean, it was hard to run the ball. You're talking about a guy that could just swallow up, you know, A-gaps and make it difficult for the other team to run the ball. And I don't know if he's going to be there at 32, but he would fit exactly what Dan Campbell is building.
Shoot, if he's there at 32, man, you don't even write the name on the card. You just run up there and just
– Yeah, no, 32. like 32, that's a no-brainer. I could see that. But I want to – like some Lions fans that I've seen as go as high as like pick two. I think that's absurd for a guy like Jordan Davis.
For Jordan Davis? The guy,
but I think that's kind of absurd. Do you agree with that, Jake?
Yeah, I'd have to say that.
Yeah, I would trade down. I'll trade down and
trade down and take him at like 10 or something if you want. I mean,
there are some people that like him as much as pick two because they fall. Jake, I'm not even trying to call you out right now. I know you said you love the combine and stuff, but people fall in love too much with this stuff and they see a big boy like this running a 4.7 or something like that, 4.8, whatever it was.
4.8.
And they just absolutely fall in love with these guys. Like I like Jordan Davis a lot, and I like the comparison a lot. But like, pick two, it's too rich for me for a guy like Jordan.
Let me ask you a question, Tyler. As far as prospects, you know, we drafted Ndamukong Suh at two.
That's true.
Now you're comparing prospects. I mean, he looking at numbers, he was more athletic in the combine than Ndamukong Suh.
Yeah, he wasn't as dominant though.
Probably didn't have a more dominant college season. I don't think so, but
yeah.
No. Different.
So there's no comparison between him and him and Sue?
Different prospects.
One's a three tech. One's a three tech. One's a nose tackle. Two different positions.
I mean, I think Davis could play. He could play three tech.
I don't.
He's just a big boy.
I don't want that at three tech. I want like a smaller, quicker guy.
Quicker? You see how quick he was?
Yeah, but he's to me. He's honestly, he's more of a two down player than a three down player.
He is not just a run stuffer.
I mean, he could rush the passer, but
absolutely.
All right. Anyways, so Jake, I have a question about one receiver, and this is Drake London. I'm not as high in him as others are. I just don't see like the separation with him. He kind of reminds me a little of a receiver that the Lions had, Kenny Galladay.
See what you guys have.
Yeah, I mean, Jake, I know you're loving, you're enjoying Kenny Galladay right now in New York.
Yeah, no, definitely not.
All jokes aside, though, do you feel the same way I do? Some people have him going as like wide receiver one. I personally have him, I think, as wide receiver six or seven. How do you feel about Drake London?
In terms of what he puts on tape, I think that his release, I've heard some other guys compare it to Devontae Adams. I'm not saying it's that good, but he's a really good release. But with downfield separation, it's definitely a problem. But he's a dominant player at the catch point again. And I think that he is decent coming out of the stem in his route. I think at this point, people are just – you got to wait for the pro day and see what he's been looking like. Coming back, but I think that the talent's certainly there, but I would agree that the downfield separation issues give a little bit of pause.
So like if you were to like, is he in your top five receivers right now, or is he just outside of that?
I believe I have him as wide receiver two or three right now. Okay. Kind of just waiting for that pro day and see what he's looking like. You know, I want to see him come out there. I want to see that flexibility. I want to see his hips open up a little bit, but if he's still looking how he did in September, I think I'm going to have to slide him down and give a nod to guys like Olave and Burks to move up.
Yeah. Okay. So getting away from that question now, so we talked about some round one, round two receivers, right? Who are some day three, not necessarily just receivers, but some day three guys that the Lions need that you kind of like in the fourth, fifth, or sixth round? Like, who are some sleepers or some guys that they could take and could potentially start or could play a big role?
Well, one of the big sleepers in this draft, he plays interior offensive line. His name is Jason Poe from Mercer. Just a hair under 6'1", incredibly undersized, but reminds me a lot of Shaq Mason. And Detroit is building that Detroit tough offensive line. You know, they've already got it there with Sewell, and, you know, they're building it. Jason Poe would kind of be able to slide right in there. And then in regards to other guys, I'm a big fan of Khalil. I think how you say his name is Khalil Shakir. I think it's how you say it, from Boise State. Looks like a really good Z option at receiver. Plug and play. He might not put up big numbers, but that's a solid guy. And then also for the people that like combine freaks, Kevin Austin at receiver from Notre Dame. At minimum, he's going to have special teams upside, but he offers a little bit as a deep threat.
Okay.
Continuing the trend of potential late day two, maybe day three guys, I want to talk about a specific player. LSU linebacker Damon Clark. He's most likely going to miss all the 2022 season with back surgery. This was a guy that maybe could have went as early as the second round before the surgery. And our inside linebackers coach, Calvin Shepard, actually is his mentor. So I'm just curious, where do you have a guy like Damon Clark mocked in if you had to make a mock draft or something like that?
I'd have to put him early day three. I think the fourth round's a really good sweet spot, especially when you're looking at other day two linebackers just throwing up the boards. You know, you got Troy Anderson from Montana State. You know, that's a guy that can do what Clark does and one, you know, guys that have high athletic upside, especially when you're playing with something like back surgery. You know, teams in the top 100, they're going to have pause, but definitely with the Kelvin Shepard link, you know, that's something to watch out. You know, you get to early day three, you're sitting there in the 120s. You got to wonder if Detroit's going to pull the trigger on that.
But before the surgery, where'd you have a guy like Clark going?
I had him in the third round. I wasn't a huge fan of Clark. Again, I like other guys such as Troy Anderson and Chad Muma. I'm a big fan of. But I do think that he offers some kind of option early day three now, especially you're eating that first year, you're going to redshirt him. That's a pretty good sweet spot for him.
Okay.
So, All right. So, who are some of your who's your favorite player for, on day three?
Oh, on day three, probably Pierre Strong. He's a running back, South Dakota State. But I think that he, you know, I was a big fan of Elijah Mitchell last year. And this is for the same reason. You talk about a guy with good knee drive. He's got a second gear. He's super shifty. He just glides out in the open field. I don't know how well he'd fit in, you know, with Detroit. But if they ever wanted to, you know, get rid of Jamal Williams potentially or give a 1B to DeAndre Swift, that'd be a really good option.
Jake, I actually like him because we share the same first name. So I love that pick. No, I'm just joking. I actually do like him. I always bring that joke up, but I actually do like him. I do like the fit. And Jamal Williams has 1 year left on his deal and then also Swift's injury history. So we think, I personally think that the Lions will take it back this year. I don't know when, maybe third round or later, but because they have a lot of questions at running back. Swift has been hurt. Jamal Williams, a free agent next year. So that's one guy I do like. I also like the kid Tyler. Is it Tyler Algier? Is that how you say his name?
I don't know how to pronounce it, but the BYU running back, yeah.
Yeah, he's solid too. He'd be a nice day three option.
Jake, who are some tight ends you think that could potentially be some day two, maybe even early day three picks because the Lions have a need there right now? You obviously got Hockenson right now, and his fifth-year option would kick in not this year but next year if they ended up picking that up, which it looks like they probably will if they don't work out an extension. And then behind him, there's not really much competition. So who are some tight ends in this draft the Lions could maybe be looking at, you know, as early as probably round three and then maybe even more realistically in day three?
Yeah, so I think a guy that kind of fits that projection is Cole Turner. I wasn't super impressed with him throughout the pre-draft process, but when you talk about, you know, third round, this is a guy that's a pretty good receiving tight end. You could put it on the slot. He's got a little bit of a background with a more nuanced route tree than other guys, you know, versus like Isaiah Likely, who just ran about three routes in college. So he'd be able to plug and play as a tight end too, in the third, fourth round area.
Okay.
All right. Jake, I have a question about safety. So we know about Brisker, Seen, Hill, Jalen Petra, Callahan. We know about all these guys. Give us like some maybe third, fourth, fifth round guys that guys aren't talking about that you like.
Diamonds in the roughs is what we like to call them.
Diamonds in the roughs, or you know, like for example, Jeremy Chinn was a third round pick, right? Like, is there a player, not necessarily like Jeremy Chinn, but is there a player that you could take in the third, fourth, fifth that you could just plug him in and start? Because the Lions play a lot of split safety and a lot of three safeties. In the game, they use a lot of three safety looks. So give us like a couple, 2 to 4 guys, 5 guys maybe. Who are your guys like in the third and up with the safeties? I mean, third and lower in regards to the rounds.
Right. Well, it used to be Nick Cross from Maryland, but I think he's risen up a little bit too far at this point. So, yeah, he's a phenomenal athlete, right? You're talking about a guy that can come downhill and really good at diagnosing the run. He'll end up going high. But I think another guy that I like is Kirby Joseph from Illinois. Reminds me a little bit of Jabril Peppers. Maybe I have a little bit of bias there. But talk about a guy that can come off the edge on the blitz, can diagnose and shore up the run. He'd be great in that area. When you go into the day three area, I like Sterling Weatherford from Miami, Ohio. Not a name talked about a lot, but massive length. Again, you're talking about a guy that can go downhill, really dangerous player. You don't want to go up against him in the hole. And then otherwise, I'd probably say a guy like JT Woods. Again, you're just talking about, you know, athletes. You can go ahead and plug and play on third down. That would be another guy that the Lions should be looking at on day three.
So, Jake, I do like this kid. He's kind of a local kid out of Toledo, Tyson Anderson, maybe fifth, sixth roundish. What are your thoughts on him? Because I thought he tested well. I mean, the tape's obviously there's some up and downs in it, but what are your thoughts on Tyson Anderson?
At the minimum, he's going to have good special teams value. And when you look at him, he's got a really good floor, tested well, so you don't need to worry about that. And I thought he was pretty good at processing. I'm just kind of interested to see where his fit would be if teams maybe want to play him as a nickelbacker or – you know, what they could do. But when you talk about positional versatility, he offers that.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Jake, to wrap it up, I got one final question for you. What is your hottest take in this 2022 NFL draft? It could be someone you think is getting way too much hype, a guy that you think is severely underrated. What's your hottest take in this draft?
Oh, man. I don't want to say it because he could be a Lion, but N'Kobe Dean, I'm just not a fan. I think he's a late second round guy. Too much upper body stiffness. Can't engage with linemen. He's in like the bottom 10% of arm length. You know, if you need a guy to come in and be a will backer and come in on third down, that's fine. But I'm seeing people put him in the top 10, top 15, linebacker one. I'm not entirely comfortable with taking a linebacker that high regardless, but just not a fan of N'Kobe Dean.
So wow. if this was you, because you heard my story right now, but if this is you, Jake,
right.
N'Kobe Dean, you don't think he's even a first round or second round player. You said late second round, I believe is what you said.
Yep.
Okay.
Wow.
I heard that hurt the gut a little bit, but okay. Okay.
So, Jake, one last question. Obviously, we saw what Brad Holmes did last year and with his draft, and then we saw what Dan Campbell did during the year. Obviously, they lost a lot of games, but you kind of saw the culture shift. You saw guys, like, towards the end of the year playing better, guys developing. So what are, like, your thoughts on the regime, and particularly Brad Holmes, because you're more of a draft guy? And, like, what have you heard, like, around the league in regards to those two? Like, do you think these guys are the right guys for the Lions? Is it too early? Or do you think they'll just be a failure?
Right. I think that they put a lot of good things forward. And in regards to Brad Holmes, I thought he killed the draft last year. You know, I probably would have played it a similar way to him. When you talk about, you know, I don't know how much better you can do. You go ahead, you get Sewell, you lock up a tackle, you go ahead, you get Amon-Ra, and then, you know, you want to find those guys in the late round. He didn't draft him, but Tracy Walker, you want picks like that to go ahead and round out your roster. Brad Holmes is phenomenal at doing it. I think they'll be just fine. But going into year two, you want to see them close out those games. You know, that's where the money's going to be made.
Right. And then also regarding Levi Onwuzurike, I don't know if you're high on him, but I was really high on him last year. He had a little down year. Do you think he could bounce back this year? Obviously, Aleem McNeil had a good year. I'm pretty sure you know about those guys from last year. But do you think Levi could bounce back, show what he did in college?
Yeah, I think so. I had a high second round grade on both Levi and Aleem. But I think that when you talk about Levy, for some reason, these Pac-12 defensive linemen just have a very hard time adjusting. I don't know what it is. Vita Vea had the same problem, like didn't start coming on until like year three. So I think that it's going to be, you know, a transition for him. It's going to be a tough one. But, you know, when you have another guy in your draft class like McNeil that can kind of, you know, guide you along with the process as well, I think we should see some serious improvement from him in year two.
Okay. All right. Well, I believe that is a wrap for this episode. Jake, thank you so much for hopping on and bringing your insights to the pod. It is very much appreciated. Where can they find you out on social media? I know you are on NFL Scout and Instagram, but do you have any other social medias that you can plug?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, NFL Scout, IG. More stuff, you know, with college and what I'm doing at Tennessee. But if you ever want to check it out, find some stuff there.
And then definitely check out his IG page. Very credible. NFL Scout. No spaces, so go check them out there. And thank you once again for joining. It was much appreciated. And with that being said, hope you guys all enjoyed this episode. And I'm out, guys. Peace.
All right, guys. I'm out. Peace.
All right, y'all. And Jake, again, thank you for joining, man. We really appreciate it, man. And everybody that tuned in, thank you all for listening. And we are out, man. Peace.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.